welcome to another episode of Real Science Radio. I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer. Today we're going to talk about global warming, the Pope's take on the Big Bang, and other fun stories. But before we dive in case you were wondering where Bob is, well, he's on assignment. That's right, he's off to Indianapolis to host the Evidence Against the Big Bang seminar this Saturday at 1 p.m. at Lake of the Pines. So if you're in Indianapolis or anywhere near there, you don't want to miss this. This is a great presentation. You can find out more at our website at realscienceradio.com or rsr.org. So speaking of the Big Bang, recently the Pope came out in favor of it. Now, I personally believe in the Big Bang. I just don't think it's happened yet. If you want more details, see 2 Peter 3:10. But before we get to the Pope, today I'm honored to have in the studio as a special guest the president of Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, Dr. Ed Boudreaux. Welcome to Real Science Radio.
I'm glad to be here, Fred. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Mm-hmm. So you have a PhD in chemistry from Tulane University, mm-hmm. and I know you're a retired professor right. from the University of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Or New Orleans?
New Orleans is good.
Is that good? Yes. Okay, depending on where you live, probably.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So you've got a great track record in the scientific community on chemistry, and I know you've also been involved in decades with the creation movement. In fact, I know that you were involved in one of the famous trials that involved creation some time ago.
Yeah, back in Louisiana. In fact, that's what got me into the creation movement. A senator by the name of Bill Keith had drafted a bill called the Balanced Treatment Act so that when science was taught, it would teach all the evidences, not just exclusively evolution. That became a law, actually.
Yeah, didn't that make national headlines,
too?
It
sure did.
It was a pretty prominent court case.
It went to the Supreme Court, and contrary to what most people are led to believe, Supreme Court struck it down not because of separation of church and state. They struck it down simply because they said there was no need for the law. The option to teach that was already available.
Yeah. And, you know, thinking about it, that's probably true. But what happens is the ACLU comes along and they extort, basically.
That's exactly what
knowing that the law doesn't really support them, but schools don't want to fight it. And so they get their way. And, you know, evolution, which is really just a religious belief, is taught in the schools.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's great. You know, you've also blessed our local creation group being our president. And
it's been a pleasure.
Also, you provide an article periodically to our newsletter, and it's called The President's Corner. Mm-hmm. And I post those articles on the website at youngearth.org. Mm-hmm. And, man, these are great articles. And I wanted to talk about a couple of those today. Sure. And one of them is The Catholic Pope Says God and Big Bang May Coexist. So, again, you wrote an article on this. Now, I know both you and I are, you know, we're former Catholics. We got mm-hmm. Catholics in our family. We got dear Christian Catholic friends.
Yeah.
And we walk hand in hand with them in the pro-life movement. They've done great work. We have some theological differences, and plus we think they've caved in on the issues of origins. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we were going to talk about here. So, Ed, how about a synopsis of your article?
Yeah, basically the Pope was saying that there was no need to be concerned about the disagreement between the biblical account of creation and what science had to say, because science seems to confirm the concept of the Big Bang.
So they're caving into the world, the secular belief that pushes the Big Bang, which is really an effort to get God out of the Bible. Compromising with the world,
The world is not the way to go, obviously. Yeah.
And it just seems like a pattern that they've had. You know, the Pope before him I thought was pretty good. I mean, he was taking a pro-creation stand. I mean, they say words that are, you know, they don't say a lot on the topic. Like, they don't want to generate a controversy, but they just say enough words where you can kind of mince what they're saying.
Yeah.
I know he was a pro at intelligent design. He mentioned a few of those buzzwords.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope before him, John Paul, seemed to be the one who kind of started, as far as I know, I mean, in my lifetime, where he mentioned that, if you remember, that evolution was more than a hypothesis. So he kind of opened the door for this, you know, more and more acceptance of this theory of evolution. The next Pope, Benedict, again, seemed to be going away from that. And now we've got Pope Francis really going full bore right back into it. Again, they use kind of non-controversial language. It's like they're trying to avoid the issue, but at the same time comment on it.
Right.
So I figure, you know, with this Pope, you got problems when Elton John is saying that he's his hero. You know, in the same sentence that he talks about how Jesus supports gay marriage, he says how the Pope's his hero. And Ella reminds me of James 4:4, that don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. It's unfortunate that they're compromising on the Genesis account. You know, Bob's giving a seminar on this weekend. Mm-hmm. In his presentation that we gave at Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, mm-hmm. You know, one of the really cool evidences that he has in it, spoiler alert, you know, on his presentation is a video clip of a scientist from Fermi Labs, no friend to creationists. I mean, this lab is government funded and sponsored. And there's a video about, you know, the serious problem of missing antimatter. If there was a big bang, you should have equal amounts of matter and antimatter. In this video, this guy explains, hey, here's what should happen, but with this vast universe and everywhere we look, we can't find any antimatter. So, mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to compromise with the world. The evidence is so overwhelming against the Big Bang. It's just too bad that this happens. Yeah. So I thought your article was really good because it covered, you know, why this is a problem. And, yeah. You know, we have to address it. You know, this reminds me, too, about Galileo. You remember how, you know, the world, if you ask anybody who doesn't know a lot about history and they've been kind of brainwashed by the public schools, they'll think that the church was against science because of Galileo. Mm-hmm. Now, is that true?
No.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, what has not been told is that the scientific community of the day, particularly the elitist among that community, they were the ones who were challenging Galileo.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't the church, per se.
The church just wanted Galileo to clarify his position on things.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot more to that story. There's politics involved. There's Galileo, I guess, had an interesting personality, a confrontational one. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that involved that whole situation. But, you know, this Pope John Paul, he apologized to, you know, Galileo. And, you know,
there was no need for an apology.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, another great article you wrote was on global warming. But, you know, before I get to that, mm-hmm. it's going to be a fun one. But, you know, I jumped on Science Daily today. You can always get interesting science so-called stories from there. You know, hey, I'm going to call this fairy tale of the day segment. Can we start that? I'm looking at my producer. He said, fairy tale of the day segment. So, and this is March 4th, Science Magazine, March 4th, just a few days ago. Discovery of 2.8 million year old jaw sheds light on early humans. So I looked at this picture. If you go to the website, Science Daily, and then click on their link, it's like this piece of rock. It's a thin piece of rock with six teeth on it. And that's their big find. He says it's an excellent case of a transitional fossil. I mean, their imagination just run wild.
Oh, true.
There is no science in that field of anthropology. It's amazing.
In fact, it reminds me of back in the early 30s, I think it was, the Nebraska Man. And, you know, they made a big case about that, pictures of them and all that sort of stuff. Turned out to be one tooth of a pig.
Yeah, a tooth of an extinct pig.
Yeah.
Out of that one tooth, they drew Nebraska, not only Nebraska Man, his whole family.
Yeah.
Out of one tooth.
All of them. Yeah.
They had them all.
They had pictures of everybody.
Yeah. And it was one of the leading scientists in the country, you know? So, you know, this propaganda began back then. New York Times, which they haven't changed one iota. They were pushing that stuff back then.
Oh, yeah.
So here's another one, Ed, that was on there today. I just got a kick out of this. And maybe this is the segment, Evolutionists Think the Silliest Things. So the title of this one was Nice to Sniff You, Handshakes May Engage Our Sense of Smell. So so they claim, well, here's what the scientists said. Our findings suggest that at its evolutionary origins, handshaking might have also served to convey odor signals. And such signaling may still be a meaningful, albeit subliminal, component of this custom. So, Ed, you know, next time I shake your hand, I think I'll smell it to see if I can detect a signal.
You better.
Not. I wonder what the evolutionary origin is for having a buzzer in your hand when you shake it with someone. You know,
that'd be neat. Yeah.
Survival of the fittest or, you know. Uh-huh. Okay, I digress.
Who can shock the most?
So, you know, global warming. So you've got another article that was, I don't know, maybe about 4 months ago that I thought was really good. You called it Climate Change, Weapons of Mass Destruction. And, you know, this last February, it's broke the record here in Colorado for the most snow we've ever had in recorded history. So the last 100, it was a 103-year-old record, and it broke it. And so I'm wondering, are we just bucking this global warming trend? What's up with that? You know, the New York Times had an article, too, about how New York City had their coldest month in 80 years.
Ask the people in the Northeast what they think.
Yeah, New England and all those blizzard after blizzard.
Well, actually, I did an analysis, I think it was 2009, that I did it and wrote it up on the global warming issue. And I used the data that was available and did a pretty sophisticated, thorough analysis of it. And, you know, it's all attributed to what?
carbon dioxide being produced from vehicles, right?
Yeah, man-made.
Global, in the United States, by the way.
Yeah.
The rest of the world isn't doing this,
yeah,
right?
It's okay. All our fault.
Yeah, it's all our fault.
I think it was George Bush's fault, but yeah.
Well, yeah, probably was. Yeah. He's blamed for everything anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I did was just analyze all that data in terms of the real evidence. And the conclusion was there's no evidence for global warming.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that might have been an article too on the website.
I think it was.
Published that.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, that's right. That was a great article. You know, did you hear this news here? Again, this is just last month, and this is from the Daily Telegraph. Mm-hmm. The fiddling with temperature data is the biggest scientific scandal ever. And this is according to Christopher Booker, because they looked at the data that these guys, you know, these different organizations that were, the data was fudged.
Now, not only that, I've read some of those publications. And I can tell you that, you know, what they put in those publications wasn't legitimate.
Yeah.
Well,
he's gone back, not him, but this other guy he mentioned in his article, went back and he looked at all these different places where they measure temperature and looked at the original logs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was off by 1 degree Fahrenheit to what they were publishing in all their reports.
Yeah.
You know, no wonder, because you get comedians that talk about how, like Dennis Miller will say, well, I'm not too worried about 1 degree temperature increase. So that ploy worked. And they call that, you know, that's a serious change. And over time, we're just making things worse. Well, it was all based on a lie.
Well, do you know, a lot of those sensing devices were located in areas which weren't shielded in any kind of way. They were exposed to heat and everything else from other sources.
Wow. Yeah.
That's
amazing what they did to perpetrate this. I mean, think of the really billions of dollars that have been spent because of this climate. They don't call it global warming anymore. They want to be, you
climate
know,
change.
Yeah. Now it's climate change, you know, and of course it's not falsifiable, because they'll say when it was global warming, oh, you should expect blizzards and all. Oh, it's a totally unfalsifiable claims that they make.
But of course, Al Gore has been laughing all the way to the bank, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which big money for
pretty,
him.
Pretty sad. You know, my conservative friends kind of get surprised when I tell them that the last election I voted for the African-American. They look at me like you're looking at me now.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder.
Yeah, you're wondering. Well, I voted for Alan Keyes.
Okay.
Well, so speaking of Alan Keyes, there's another African-American who's running for president I think is great. They were criticizing him for his stand on both creation and global warming, and you've heard of Dr. Ben Carson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a very prestigious doctor in America. In fact, I'd say he's probably the most well-known surgeon in America. And what do you know? He's a creationist and definitely not pro-global warming.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he said this in a recent article, "I find a very good measure of correlation between my religious beliefs and my scientific beliefs."
Mm.
People say, how can you be a scientist? How can you be a surgeon if you don't believe in certain things? Maybe those things aren't scientific. Maybe it's just propaganda. Wow. You know, he's definitely going to get criticism from the left and from the secular scientists.
Yeah.
And he also said in the article that he denies climate change. And this person who reported on it said that view puts him at odds with the vast majority of the scientific community, which itself is a complete lie. That's not true. Mm-hmm. It's just like when they say the vast majority of scientists believe in evolution. That's not true.
No.
The majority clearly does. Over the years, they've gotten into our universities and whatnot.
Sure.
It's, you know, 90% liberal.
Yeah.
Voting record. And this was reported in the Huffington Post, which is a left-wing website.
Sure.
It's kind of like the counter to Drudge Report for the liberals.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's not true. It's not a view that, you know, there's a ton of scientists who reject climate change, global warming.
Oh, sure.
There's a boatload of them.
Sure.
And again, we have yet another report.
Of course, the federal government says you can't recognize them because they're not legitimate.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I guess you're not legitimate.
I'm not legitimate.
With the science that you wrote on that.
Then maybe you should question my degree if I really got it.
Yeah. Hey, now you've got a really, I can't wait for this. So in the CRSQ, peer-reviewed Creation Research Society Journal, you've got an upcoming article with Dr. John DeMassa, and it's going to be about this whole Mary Schweitzer claim that she thinks she has an explanation how DNA survives millions of years. And it has to do with iron. And I know that you guys spend a great amount of time not only refuting that, but all other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that article to come out.
We're excited about it. I think we pretty well nailed down her fallacies of everything that she's published.
Yeah. And this is in the final stages of review, right? So this is
it's
pretty much
finished
a done
the
deal.
Final stages.
It's finished the final stages.
Yeah.
So we can expect that in, you know,
reasonable.
Yeah, a couple of issues. So maybe it might not be for maybe 6 months. Hopefully not, but it's coming, and that's going to be awesome. And we'll report on it at Real Science Radio because we're obviously very interested in, you know, this whole dinosaur soft tissue stuff. You know, in my presentation, I've got this wiki page that evolutionists put up, and they say, here's a prediction. You should never find DNA in dinosaur bones. You know, I show that every time I give a presentation because they still haven't taken it down. The journal Bone last year reported the discovery of DNA in dinosaur bones. So, you know, hey, they found it. And so now will that website, will they agree that, hey, okay, yeah, creation made a prediction. It came true. So it's a valid theory. Of course they won't. They'll eventually take that part down of their website and never admit that they said that, hey, this prediction is true. Then create that validates creation. They'll never do that. But I get a kick out of the fact that the last time I gave a presentation was about a month ago. I went to that website, the wiki site for their dinosaur soft tissue, and there it was, still was, you know, still prediction there about DNA. Shouldn't find DNA. Well, guess what? We do.
Yeah, we do.
Now, you've got another article you wrote for the newsletter, and this was called A New Fairy Tale About the Moon's Formation.
Yeah, well, these guys who try and confirm things about what's going on in cosmology and so on, they have some interesting ways of trying to draw correlations. And one of the things they do, they form a hypothesis, and then, of course, based on that hypothesis, they look for the evidence to support that hypothesis, right?
Oh, yeah. It reminds me of a passage in a biology book, and this is a high school biology book, and it's talking about the dating of some rock range. And I can find it because I quote it in my talks. It said that there's an absolute date for this rock formation of 300,000 years. Here's the catch. Plus or minus 300,000 years. And yet they said it was an absolute date. And I'm telling you, that's a quote out of an actual high school textbook.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It just shows you, you know, oh, man. What I can't believe
it
that
goes
this
on
gets
time.
By people. You know, it's unfortunate that you hear a lie. What's that saying? If you told a lie loud enough, often enough, and something
else. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to eventually believe it. That's how you do propaganda. When I got into creation, part of me was mad that I had been brainwashed for so long.
Oh,
because I believe so much of that. I think you were the same way,
right? Yeah, I didn't even challenge it until I became born again. And then it's God who led me to say, you better check out some of the literature, what's going on in evolution.
Yeah.
I had to divert myself from my own research, spent about 6 months in the library only on that topic.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Looking at geology, looking at biology, all the evolution publications.
And probably
I could not find a single article that was substantiated. As a scientist, I was blown away. Yeah. I was really angry. Because, see, I sort of believed that most scientists had integrity.
Yeah.
And that's what you depend on, scientific integrity, right?
And what does the world say? The world say that they hold up the scientists with great regard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know we've got a lot of public teachers who are great people. But a lot of them aren't that good, and they get held up in high regard.
Well, they got brainwashed, too.
They got brainwashed, too, you know, and it's really unfortunate. But, yeah, I had this kind of the same thing. I mean, 30 years, I believed that. I didn't necessarily believe that we evolved from apes. I kind of had trouble with that. But I did believe in millions of years and all that nonsense. And a guy where I worked said that, oh, evolution's a proven fact. And I'm like, he was so adamant. I'm like, well, there must be evidence for it. I wasn't convinced that it was a proven fact, but I thought, I'll look into it. And yeah, over maybe 6 months to a year, just digging in and digging more and more. It's like, wow, there's all this evidence against evolution and against millions of years that I never knew about. I was never told about it in school. And hey, that's one of the reasons for Real Science Radio and why we do this show. You know,
great.
To get the truth out
there.
That's
why Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship exists.
Yeah, that's right. So again, you're the president of our local creation group. Mm-hmm. It's doing great. You've been a great leader. We've got some great speakers coming up. Second Friday of every month, there's a speaker, and often they're renowned speakers that come in and give a presentation. It's a great location down in South Denver, right off of Yale and I-25. You can go to youngearth.org.
Yep.
And find out. We post the upcoming speakers. We usually are 2 or 3 months ahead, and so you can see who's coming up.
Sure.
Read a lot of Ed's. You post articles there. We've got articles from other board members, but you get to have yours prominently displayed on the front page, which, which is great because, again, they're really
less shot.
Yeah. You know, you were a teacher at a, you know, secular university for many, many years while you were a creationist. Now, it sounds like you were also an evolutionist, and then you became a...
Well, here's the point. When I got my degree and so on, and I entered the institution to teach, I didn't question anything about what was going on in evolution. It's a little far astray from my field. Chemistry, physics, that was my bailiwick, you know. So I didn't really get involved with that too much because that's hardcore science, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when I told you in 74, I had my born-again experience. So that's when things started to change. It wasn't me making it. It was God motivating me to look into this other stuff. And for good reason, I guess. He wanted to use me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you use you, he has. So
yeah, thank God for that. And I'm willing. I'm glad.
Yeah, absolutely. So have you had like, I'm curious, you know, again, being at a secular university, how were you able to present, you know, the truth of Genesis
That is a whole program in itself, Fred. I'll basically say this. You get identified for who you are and the university comes down on you like big time.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't answer a newspaper article using my name. They would challenge me on that because it says I was reflecting the institution, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Got held back on salary raises, got held back on promotions. I mean, you know, Ben Stein's movie.
Yeah. I was going to say you should have been in that movie.
Well, I'm one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jerry Bergman, I think, has me written up in one of his accounts. But
yeah, that's a good video. Expelled. I'm pretty sure we have it in our store at realscienceradio.com. Mm-hmm. So if you get a chance, you know, this radio program is totally listener funded. We have to actually pay the radio station for this airtime. So if you enjoy the show, it would be great. I know Bob's not real good at talking about, you know, this funding stuff, but that really is all that drives this show. And I encourage you, if you enjoy these shows, to please help us. So again, you could help us out by going to the store. Bob's got a new hydroplate video. I think it's been out maybe 6 months. It's getting really good reviews. It's really interesting. Even if you don't agree with the topic, people are just loving this video. Interesting take on the plate tectonics theory, which I think should rest in peace and be, you know.
Sure.
And I know you agree with that part.
Sure.
And again, Bob's going to be in Indianapolis this Saturday. So I highly encourage everybody to make it out there. The last two Real Science Radio shows, John Hartnett was on the show, and he endorsed all of the evidences that we've documented in this Evidences Against the Big Bang that, you know, you got to see at, at the Rocky Mountain Creation Fellowship, youngearth.org.
Yeah, so, very, very good presentation.
Yeah, thank you. And again, Bob does all that. His slides are awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked together on slides before, and a lot of times if you get a really nice-looking slide, I got it from Bob. I mean, he's got to have a guy from NASA working with him. Because, I mean, and again, if you can make that presentation, he has one animation through outer space that is so cool. It shows the organization, just the pristine, just the beauty of space and the structure. You know, how did these big structures come about in outer space? There's no way gravity had the time to do it. In fact, that's why they cook up things like dark matter and dark energy and
missing
all those
dark energy and dark matter and all that stuff. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, creation scientists as you are, that when you witness to someone on the issue of origins, what are your favorite arguments for creation?
Well, you know, it depends on who you're talking to, of course.
Oh,
and if you're encountering people in the scientific profession, it usually gets to be pretty sticky because you got to let them speak their point. I like to use a little cliche sometimes. It says, you know, if you're questioning this about information, right, you say, well, do you believe you know everything there is to know about the universe? And of course, the obvious answer would be no, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I say, well, do you think you can know about half of all the information that's in the universe? Probably not, right? No. Do you think God might exist in that half that you don't know? That's something I used on him from time to time.
Yeah.
And it gets them to think, see, because they put themselves in the position, okay?
Yeah.
Put themselves in that position. And so then you can take off on that sometimes if they open the door. If they don't open the door, you try and say, well, give me your evidence that you believe about evolution, and let's see how I agree or disagree with you.
Yeah, so it kind of opens up the door.
Yeah, opens up the door.
And then, you know, origins is a topic that you can breach with about anybody. You know, a lot of times people don't want to hear about Jesus.
No.
Because they don't even believe in a creator. And the Bible says that Jesus is a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. So the Greeks back in Jesus' time, they didn't believe in a creator, period. They were the evolutionists of their day. They were either atheists or, you know, some form of pantheist. You know, God is in everything. And, you know, that it's similar to the Star Wars New Age stuff.
Sure.
So they don't have that foundation in place. So when Christ is preached, it's just foolishness to them.
Sure.
But if you establish that foundation, that there's a creator and appeal to origins, you can make, that's mm-hmm. why I think, you know, it's a, such an important witnessing opportunity to people.
Sure.
If you can get them to believe that there's actually a creator, then sure. Jesus makes a lot more sense when you present it.
Well, not only that, the scripture says in the prologue of John's gospel and in Colossians, Jesus is the creator. You know, he's
absolutely. Yeah.
So,
and you know, and speaking of not having all the knowledge that you'd like to have. So, you know, I years ago when I first saw Bob on TV and I saw his episode with Eugenie Scott when he debated her mm-hmm. and she kept talking about this cat was on her lap. It was just so silly. Mm-hmm. It's like she avoiding the questions, but
yeah,
he asked her her top three evidences for evolution. And if I recall, she only gave one. I know she didn't give three.
She gave one.
And it yeah. was junk DNA.
Junk DNA.
And Bob had asked her, well, if we don't know enough now to even make that claim. And he pretty much made the prediction that, you know, as we find out more, it's not going to be so junky.
And now we know.
Now we know. And we can appeal to the secular journals
yeah.
that in some cases they think they found functionality for 100%. I mean, there's really
no junk. And they still haven't found it all yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So junk DNA is no longer an argument. They're
yeah.
running out of so many arguments. It's
oh, yeah.
interesting because
yeah.
I've been on the discussion boards for, you know, really over a decade. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're changing their way they argue
mm-hmm.
because we pulled the rug out of them on so many arguments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's even an article, I think it was published in Nature magazine, where this one guy is questioning neo-Darwinism. That's their biggest deal.
Sure.
And now they want to come up with another thing. I'm sure he kind of him and hawed about other ways of trying to get naturalism into the equation. They just want to avoid God.
Yeah.
But neo-Darwinism, which is randomness plus natural selection, mm-hmm. that just can't happen mathematically. You know, for me as an engineer, I use that argument with other engineers. It's like, man, you're an engineer. You work with a code. You work with C++ or C.
Mm-hmm.
How can that code evolve? You have to have intelligence to come up with a code in the first place. If randomness is part of the equation, that's going to destroy the code. There's no way you can build any information if you've got a randomness factor.
No.
You know, we've had Dr. John Sanford on here.
Sure.
And he talks about how you've got all this noise, really, of all these mutations. Mm-hmm. How can even a favorable mutation, even if it occurs, you would never detect it? Evolution can't detect it.
No.
It can only select people. It can't select a gene that's buried beneath, you know, in the genome somewhere where all these other mutations and randomness are happening.
Anyway, the latest position on that is they give evolution intelligence. That's what
that's
the evolutionists
say. Yeah.
They ascribe intelligence.
Yep, that's right. So Francis Crick with DNA, right? He co-discovered DNA and had to come up with a reason for it. So he said all aliens did it. So anyways, hey, we're out of time. Man, it was fun having
great.
You on the show. I really appreciate all your work you've done for Rocky Mountain
Thank
Creation
so
Fellowship
much.
And the creation movement. And again, Bob's in Indianapolis giving a seminar this Saturday at 1 p.m. at Lake of the Pines. Go to rsr.org to find out more details. So for Real Science Radio, this is Fred Williams. Bob will be back in the studio next week, and until then, have a blessed weekend.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Talking about